All right, last time we got together, which was last year, I tell you, I was missing you guys on this Wednesday, but I had stuff to do too, so I made full proof of the ministry. But watch this. Last time we got together, success in the kingdom is never fully realized until resistance raises its ugly head. Resistance raises its ugly head. If you're going to do anything for God, you're going to have resistance. If you're going to do anything good for God, you're always going to have resistance. The devil is always going to resist you. There's always going to be obstacles. There's always going to be delays. There's always going to be these things. But those things are designed to make you stronger. Okay? All right. One of the things I said is be careful to never fall into the trap that everybody's for me. Be careful. Watch out for vanity. Watch out for praises of men. Watch out for people always exalting and always saying things. Be very careful of that. Walk in humility before your God. Know who you are, okay? A true shepherd, a disciple, is strengthened by adversity. A hireling will tuck his tail and run when things get tough. A true shepherd will sit there right with you on the front lines. They'll be right there. They'll take the shots with you. They'll go through the pain and troubles with you, but a hireling won't. So these are just some of the things from last time. Only a coward seeks the path of least resistance. It's very true today. We're watching people that, you know, if they see a fight, they want to go the other way. If they see an incident where someone needs help, they want to go the other way. But a true person of God, a true warrior of Jesus Christ will go into those issues and stand strong. But a coward will run. Remember this, the gospel message will bring division as it multiplies. The gospel message will bring division as it multiplies. And I gave you a scripture of Matthew chapter 10, 34 through 39. You can look that up. And well, that might be part of the Acts teaching on chapter 14. We began verse 1 all the way down. Let's see. I'll just go real quickly. Verse 10, talking about the mega voice, the authority isn't shy or timid. Verse 10 was talking about when Paul made that declaration. Remember that? He said, stand right on your feet. And the guy did what? He leaped to his feet, and man, he was healed. So, you know, so many people get really shy about the gospel. Sometimes the line of the tribe of Judah has to come out of you, and you got to say it like it is. You got to better be very voiceful. Amen? So that's really a short, abbreviated teaching on going back on that review. So let's get into tonight's. So here you go. Here are some of the things I want you to write down. The enemies of your past will always attempt to invade your future. The enemies of your past will always attempt to invade your future. Sorry, that's the way that is. Now, a lot of Christians don't want to hear it because they live in Fluffy Island. You know, they just fluff around, float around, and everything's just wonderful, and I don't ever have troubles. I can't hang around people like that. Let me try that again. I can't hang around people like that that act like they never have troubles. I need some combat veterans. I need some people who've been through some stuff. They got the scars to say, oh, yeah, I was there too. Yeah, this was a board meeting I had one time. See that scar right there? Oh, yeah, I met my in-laws one time, and they didn't like tongues. I got that scar from them. So the enemies of your past will always attempt to invade your future, and I will talk about that in the scriptures in a little bit. The power to resist those enemies is realized. The power to resist those enemies is realized in the fact that through Christ, your battles were won. And I'm going to explain it why I said it that way. I'll read it again. The power to resist those enemies is realized in the fact that through Christ, your battles were won. So your enemies want to come from your past. They want to destroy your future. They want to invade your current life, your future plans. But the power to resist those enemies is to do what? Is to realize that those battles of the past were won through Christ and Him alone. That's very important when we read this here in a few minutes of Scripture. Because here it is. Here's another statement. My faith isn't built on what I did. My faith is not built on what I did, but rooted in what he did and what he says in the word. That is the formula of faith that overcomes your enemies. That's a lot of words, but let me say it again. My faith isn't built on what I did. Going back to the enemies of my past, the battles that I won, they try to invade my future. I do not become victorious because of me and what I did. I go back to what Christ did and my faith. Watch this again. My faith isn't built on what I did, but rooted in what he did and what he says in the word. That is the formula of faith that overcomes your enemies. And we're going to see that all in this teaching tonight. And so many people, watch this, they have faith in their faith. They have faith in their faith. They talk about their faith. They promote their faith. They brag about their faith. No, our brag is in him. Our faith is just something he's given us. It's a gift. And I don't want to get into teaching on faith. Maybe sometime this year, after we finish the book of Acts, we'll get into that. Maybe we'll see. But faith that God gives us, that's the empowerment from heaven to do things we can't do on earth on our own strength. So it's free. It's a gift, and it can be built upon and increased. But I can't sit there and parade and celebrate my faith because I go what? From faith to faith. The faith from yesterday will not be the faith for tomorrow. But if I learned today to operate in faith, I can build on my faith for tomorrow. And that's called ever-increasing faith. And I love faith. I love talking about faith. So many people just want to cast faith out because we're in the last days. I'm like, if you don't have faith, you're not going to make it. Don't cast anything out of the Word of God, no matter what the seasons are. Okay? So you see that? Just because, and this is just an additional statement, just because you get knocked down doesn't mean you got knocked out. Just because you got knocked down doesn't mean you got knocked out or you're knocked out. We have to remember that. I like that too because I don't know about you. I've been through enough punching bag matches and punching bag moments, and we've all been fought. You know, we've been in fights. We've all gone through issues as Christians. But we have to understand just because we get knocked down doesn't mean we're knocked out. Okay, and that's all going to come out here. Get up and keep swinging is what I put in the last part of my statement. Get up and keep swinging. Amen. Because, you know, God's for you. He's not going to let you fail. He's going to bless you. Okay, so we're going to take all that we just put out there, and we're going to bring it into scriptural relevance and understanding. And believe it or not, I hope to get you out of this chapter into chapter 15 for next week. Is that cool? Watch this, verse 13. Then the priest of Jupiter, which was before their city, brought oxen and garlands into the gates and would have done sacrifice with the people. Now, you know, he's in Lystra. He just saw the great miracle. Verse 8, verse 9. Remember verse 10, he has a loud voice, and the people saw it. Verse 11, verse 12. And they called Barnabas Jupiter and Paul Mercurius, because he was the chief speaker. Now watch again, verse 13. Then the priest of Jupiter, which was before the city. Now, what this means is that they had their temple right at the city gates. They had the temple of Zeus right there at the city gates, okay? But the priest had come out, and when they saw that, they brought oxen and garlands into the gates and would have done sacrifice with the people. This is an amazing moment we're watching here, because here are the apostles just doing what they're supposed to do, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, and God doing what he's supposed to do when you preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that's miracles. This is common. This should be common in our life, and it is. We're seeing miracles here in this church. There's miracles happening in people's lives. Body of Christ is moving around the world. God's doing something great. He hasn't gone in retirement, by the way. And so, no matter what the world looks like. So here it is. Now, verse 14, which when the apostles, Barnabas and Paul, now I want you to just notice something. This is the only other time they're called apostles right here. One time before, and then right here, talking about Barnabas and Paul. It's kind of interesting, little tidbit of information there. But right there, verse 14. Heard of this, they rent their clothes and ran among the people crying out. So picture this. They're doing what they're supposed to do. A miracle takes place. Here comes this priest to the temple. He's got oxen. People are going crazy, and they're ready to sacrifice. And Paul and Barnabas recognize it, and they begin to run. They rip their clothes, right? Verse 15, saying, "Sirs, why do you these things? We are also men of like passions with you, and preach unto you that you should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are therein." So could you imagine this? These guys just simply loving God, simply doing the ministry, and then all of a sudden they start running out there wanting to sacrifice and make them gods. They literally thought these men were gods. Now, let me tell you something that's happening in the church today. There's many people that look at pastors, singers, entertainers in Christianity and different places, and they look at them as gods, and they're not. They're humans. They're just like you and me. They may be endowed with special anointings and giftings, but that doesn't mean anything. They still have to put the britches on. They still got to keep out of sin. They still got to live right. They still have to answer to God, okay? But here's this situation where these two men of God, who are called apostles right here, they're about to be put in a situation that is very embarrassing, to say the least. If you've never been over to one of these countries, in third world countries, for an example, we're in Nepal many years ago, and in Nepal, this is very popular. You see it all the time. You see the garlands, the oxen. You see the people with the paint on their face and all the incense and the mantras and all that. It's very common for them to celebrate things. And so I was thinking as I was studying, remembering those, and I can imagine Paul and Barnabas running out saying, "Are you crazy? You got to be out of your mind. We just preached to you. Don't do this." And then next thing you know, they're ready to party down and say, you know, these are gods. Very, very amazing. But verse 15 says, "We're just like you." I love the humility of these two men of God because they said it like it needed to be said. I would wonder what modern preachers would do today if people wanted to praise them in such a way. Well, we already know they may not be sacrificing oxen, but they're lavishing them with all kinds of things and calling them much greater than what they really are. I told you about a prophet, and he says he's a prophet over in Houston, who his congregation says that he's the word that's become flesh. He's Jesus manifested in the flesh, and he's never publicly rebuked them at all. And they throw all kinds of gifts towards them and all kinds of money towards them and stuff like that. He's in danger, big danger. You better bow before Jesus, and you better show the people that you are just like they are. That doesn't lower your standard. It doesn't lower the anointing or the honor. It's called transparency. So I love this here. And we're watching this template of these guys. Okay, so why do you do these things? You've lost your mind. So watch what he says. "And saying, sirs, why do you do these things? We are men like pastors with you, and preach unto you that you should turn from these vanities into the living God. Watch this, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are therein, who in times past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways." In other words, there was a time that God might have winked. I believe we're in the hour where God is no longer winking, he's staring. That's why we live differently today. That's why certain things in the Bible are a little different at this moment, because we're past the time of just, well, you know, whatever. No. God is definitely staring into the affairs of man. Watch this, verse 17. "Nevertheless, he left not himself without witness in that he did good and gave us rain from heaven, fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness." Notice what Paul's preaching to them. He's saying that even though there might have been times when God was looking the other way, dealing first with Israel, bringing the Savior on the scene, he still fed you and took care of you. There's a lesson in that. When you and I were sinners, God took care of us. That's why be very careful when you get around people who condemn sinners all the time and speak badly of them and give them no opportunity to get saved, because you were just like them. I thank God he took care of me and took care of you. I'm glad that seatbelt held when I was in that accident and you were in that accident. I'm glad that round hit my car when that person shot at me and didn't kill me. And whatever your story is, aren't you glad? So God was working for me, just like he's helping the prostitute right now. How dare you? Well, you don't know God then. You don't know how much he loves the world. You don't know how much he's trying to reconciliate people unto himself. He is. Okay? That's why we pray. We don't know what kind of work God's going to do. We just pray. Okay? Now watch this. This is good stuff. So he's telling them that. And then he goes to verse 18. With these sayings, scarce restrained they the people that they had not done sacrifice unto them. Look at that again with me in verse 18. With these sayings, scarce restrained they the people that they had not done sacrifice unto them. With everything that Paul had said, it almost wasn't enough for them to stop the sacrifice. That's how infused with idolatry they were, and that's how crazed in the mind they were that these were the gods that came among us. I'm telling you, Christians are like this. They may not have the calves outside. They may not have the altar ready stoked up with firewood, but I'm telling you, there are a lot of people that do this and think that they can do no wrong. I'll save it for Sunday. It's something I just read recently about a preacher and a certain gospel singer. But I'm telling you, you better know the Bible. You better know the Holy Spirit. You better know the people who labor among you. And just be careful. That's all I say. Is that okay? Is that good advice? I mean, you know, your insurance agent will tell you to be careful, right? All right. So they scarce restrained them. So they were about to have a riot. They were about to, they couldn't stop them. Now watch verse 19. And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing that he had been dead. Now look at the beginning of verse 19. And there came thither certain Jews. Who are these Jews? The ones that tried to stone him before. The people of your past, the enemies of your past, will try to destroy, invade your future. They'll try to get in there. Just what I told you. This is what happened. They followed Paul and Barnabas. So if you're wondering right now, those watching, man, why am I getting attacked? And why are these thoughts from the past? Or why is this person from the past? And why? It's because your enemy wants to destroy you. And that's proof positive that you have a future. If you didn't have a future, he wouldn't mess with you. Woo, glory to God. You're doing something right if you're in a fight right now. You're doing something right if you're in a struggle. As long as it's not self-inflicted, as long as you're not trying to, you know, get out of the will of God and hurt yourself or hurt somebody around you, majority of the time, it's your enemy that's trying to forfeit your future and keep you. You know, I don't tell you all the battles we go through, but I get a lot of flack. I get flack from here and from there. But I'll tell you right now, there's more blessings and more people that are for us than the few voices that act the way they act. So I don't even really mention them because they're a waste of time. All right, watch this. This is awesome. So here comes these Jews, here comes their past coming after them, and notice it persuaded the people. They were just about to do sacrifice and put garlands on their necks and raise them up as gods. Then all of a sudden, on a dime, those who promoted them and loved them and celebrated them and wanted to do sacrifice with them stoned Paul. This is what I say. You better know who labors among you. You better not get caught up in vanity and caught up in compliments and everybody telling you this, because people will turn on you on a dime. I've been doing this for 25 years in ministry. I know it's true. You've been doing it for however long you've been saved. You know it's true. You've been living life before you got saved, and you know people will turn on you like that. That doesn't mean, now let me explain something to you. Let me caution you. It doesn't mean we go around with suspicious minds, pull some Elvis on you. I'm not talking about doing suspicious mind and looking around at everybody critical. Are you going to hurt me? You know, that's not what we do. We love, we exchange, we fellowship, but at the same time, guard your heart. Guard your heart. Just guard your inner being and say, you know, I love you, and I'm praying for this person. I'm not going to allow you to hurt me. Does that make sense? So he persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing that he had been left dead. So again, in a minute, people can change on you. I was rehearsing a story this morning with my wife as we have our fellowship time in the morning as the day breaks. And I remember somebody years and years ago came up to me and said, "Pastor, I'm just praying how I can bless you." And I was like, "Oh, okay, that's nice." Well, I know she was a Jezebel, but I said, "Okay, that's nice." And a few weeks later, she took like six people of her family out of my church. And it was even funnier was that one of them was a drummer. And he was so dumb that he came in the building at night and tripped the alarm and didn't know the alarm was on. So I sent my elder over to him, and he caught him taking the drum set out the front door at like 2 a.m. or something crazy. That's hilarious. I look back on it now. I say, that's pretty funny. But that same person just thought I was apple pie, man. They thought I was so awesome, and I'm just going to pray how to bless you. You better watch people. Just watch people. Amen. I said that to say, you know what? It doesn't matter. That's what enemies do. But you still love, right? You still go forward. Now watch this. So he stoned them, and then they drew them out. What they say in Old Testament history and New Testament history during these times is that whenever they would stone a victim, they would drag them outside the city so the dogs and the beasts could eat their flesh. That's what they did to Paul. Literally dragged his carcass out of the city, the same guy that they were going to do sacrifice for. This is crazy. You want to talk about bipolar? You want to talk about something crazy? This is in moments. This is in days. This is moments of time that they went from, yeah, to kill him. Okay? So they took him out there. They drug him out there. And they laid him out there. Now, some say that Paul possibly had died. Some say that he was just knocked out, that he was just tremendously afflicted. I will say this. It was definitely a miracle. Okay? Because we're going to read the rest of that in just a minute. But what's interesting about this is that Paul talks about this. He talks about in Galatians chapter 6, verse 17. He said what? He said, "I bear the marks in my body of Jesus." Well, you know what they're alluding to? The stoning. So I want to stay here for a second and just try to be descriptive that he wasn't hit with a few pebbles. He was stoned unto death. So whatever mark was on his body, whether it was facial or physical down in his torso, we don't know where it was, he bore the marks for Jesus Christ. Okay? And so he most likely was knocked unconscious and he looked dead to those around him, so they drug him out. But check this out. Remember, just because you're knocked down doesn't mean you're knocked out. "Howbeit, as the disciples stood around him," I think they were probably wondering who's going to get the position of an apostle. What do you think? Some folks would have been thinking, okay, well, pastor's down. Who's going to run it? Oh, y'all haven't been around denominations long enough. "Howbeit, they stood around about him, and he rose up." Woo! Glory to God, he rose up. He rose up. Now, again, we don't know if that's necessarily rose from the dead. It doesn't make a difference. Some scholars say, well, he naturally came to. No, it was a miracle. It was a miracle. He was near death. They drug him out. He was lifeless, at least physically looking. And then he rose up with all them guys praying. There's another lesson in that. Just because somebody's knocked down, don't bury him. Pray for him. Just because they're laid out, don't stomp on them. Don't be trying to grab materials out of their pockets and, you know, lift them up and pray and believe God. All right? So that's what we should do. So he rose up and he came into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. Now, read that with me one more time, real slow. I don't want to rush. But "howbeit, as the disciples stood around about him, he rose up and came into the city." The same city that stoned him, he went right back. You ought to write that down. He went right back. You go right back to your enemies. You go right back to the place of the stoning. You go right back to the place God called you. Just because you got knocked down and just because your enemies chased you out, get back up and go do it again. See, Paul had something that very few Christians operate in. That's called tenacity. You have it in you. I have it in me. We just have to operate in it. We have to stir up that faith and say, you know what? I'm going to put my face like a flint, and I'm not backing down. God told me to be here. God told me to possess this. God told me that. Whatever he said, go back to it. I don't care if you run into a bunch of beehives, a bunch of hornets, or whatever, a bunch of vipers. You get back up and say, uh-uh, devil. You're not going to delay me, distract me, or deny me for what God told me. Amen. Isn't God good? And Paul did it, buddy. Paul went back. He went back into the city. And now watch this. This is another thing the Holy Spirit showed me. And the next day he departed with Barnabas. You know what? Paul left when he was ready to leave. He stayed the night in the same city. Could they not found out what hotel he was staying in? Busted the door down and pulled him out again and stoned him. Somehow God supernaturally protected Paul. Somehow, I don't know. It's not shown. But I really believe somehow God supernaturally not only healed him and raised him up, but empowered him and gave him the guts to go back in there. How many of us would go back into the place we were stoned? Like I said, I don't have Superman underneath here. I have under construction underneath here. I don't know. I'd have to see what happens. But the point is, this is a template for the modern church today, that just because things are bad outside doesn't mean we don't go out there. Just because our inner cities have issues and our jails have issues and our schools have issues doesn't mean that we just drop dead and say, forget it, it's over, we're done. No, we still work while it's light. We still evangelize. We still go into the jails. We still encourage our teachers. We still do men of ministry. We do whatever we can to be a light in the midst of darkness that's around us. I'm not rolling over and putting my feet up in the air because it's the last days. I'm more energized today than I was 25 years ago because I know my King is coming. And I want to give him all the fruit that I possibly can. All right, check this out. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch. I mean, they're just preaching, man. Where did they go back to? They went back to two places. They first went back to the place they got stoned, and they went back to the hornet's nest that made people stone them. You would think they had a death wish. You would think that there was something wrong with Paul. He was punch drunk. No, Paul was a man on a mission. Oh, the church would be on a mission. If we would just be on a mission, if we would just get that in our hearts in 2019 to be on a mission for God, to be on a mandate for him, and stop having our heads so far in the sky that we're no earthly good. Man, these guys are awesome. Watch verse 22, confirming the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to do what? Continue in the faith. Now, I would have loved the Saturday of Paul with that. Could you see Paul, the big old knot on his forehead and scar on him, wherever it was, and he gets up there and says, continue in the faith. I'd be like, yeah, I'd be like Patton. I would have been so cool to stand and hear Patton. I know people have different opinions about it, but he was something else, man. I mean, I don't know if he was saved, but no, not the biographies we read. But are you here? It doesn't matter. Well, the point is this. Here was this general of the faith who had been stoned. He had the marks of Christ. And he said to them, continue in the faith. Man, that's what we need today. We need our preachers to stand up. We need our mothers and our fathers and family members. We need to stand up and say, continue in the faith, no matter how bad it looks. Continue in the faith. Preach, love, pray, fast, worship. Continue in. Continue on. Don't dig in and hide. Get up and get out. That's what we're doing. We've been doing. We're just sounding the alarm as we're running through the camp screaming, he's coming. Is anybody here? Watch this. Confirming the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. Thank you, Apostle Paul. That's the message of the hour right now. We must continue, even with as much tribulation going on around us, we got to continue to move forward. And then what did he say? Then you enter into the kingdom. You don't necessarily enter the kingdom when you're born again. alone. There's kingdom principles that many newborn children of God don't understand yet, so they don't enter. In other words, they don't embrace it and receive it as totality. Are they kingdom children? Absolutely. Are they in the kingdom? Absolutely. But they don't have the kingdom access to certain things that God wants them to have. Just like my children, are they born into my home? Yes, they're part of the house of Faircloth. Can they drive the car? No. Pretty soon, one is. Y'all pray for me for that day. I had a flash forward thought today, and I was like, oh my gosh. I made a funny comment. I was leaving the house, and I looked at Judah, and I said, I'll see y'all at church. Y'all get there on your own. And then I went in my mind, I said, oh my gosh, there's going to be a day where that's going to happen. I want to sing Rod Stewart Forever Young, but that's not going to help, no matter how many times I sang it. Y'all catch that later. My dad always says, it'll catch up with you one day. I said, well, not today. Anyways, so through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. Again, we're born into the kingdom, but Paul's trying to say, listen, guys, I'm confirming you, I'm exhorting you, I'm telling you, you can't have the miracles and the things I saw unless you learn how to go through the tribulation of pressure and pain and persecution and all these things. And then God, when he can trust you not to cry and murmur during the assault, will bless you in the process and give you the gifts and the desires of your heart, and he will trust you with the miracles. The reason why we don't see wholesale miracles in America is because God can't trust most of these flamboyant tricksters that are on television and everywhere else you can see. He doesn't trust them. All right, let me go on. It's feeling like Sunday. Verse 23, and when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting. There again, there's another New Testament template. You just don't lay hands on anybody. You're to be praying and you're to be fasting. But I want you to see something. Just because Paul got knocked down, just because they tried to invade his future, Paul stood fast, and here he is now planting churches, laying hands on leaders, and doing a great work for the kingdom. He didn't quit. I don't know about you. Laying there with blood coming out of my head or wherever would have been a good chance to say, I'm done. You know? Come on, how many people we know in Christianity today who are not even in church and not even saved because somebody did one thing to them in church or multiple things and they just couldn't get over it? Well, you let your enemies destroy your future. I'm not going to let my enemies destroy my future. The enemies of my past are my past. What am I going to do about that? It's a good lesson right there, right? Verse 24, and after they had passed throughout Poseidon, they came into Pamphylia, and when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down into Attalia, and thence sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been, what? Recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. They went full circle. They went back to the place of commencement. They went back to the place that they were attacked. They continued to preach. They continued to minister. They continued to pray. They continued to love. Could you imagine, again, a lot of, I'm not saying all. So when I say blanket statements, don't think I'm thinking all. There's a lot of great Christians, a lot of great warriors out there. But I'm going to tell you, for the most part, in the modern plastic church, there would have been a lot of guys that just would have called it quits, wrote a book, had a movie deal made, or went to all the other churches and tell them, guys, it's rough out there. My God, I almost died. You ever heard people do that? They get up there and tell you their testimonies about ministry and life, and you just, when you get done hearing them, you're ready to jump out of a one-story building? I mean, I remember in Bible school, we used to have people come in off the field of missions or whatever. I mean, they would like to have arrows through their chest. You don't want to go to Zimbabwe, dude. You know, or whatever. They'd have this injury or something. You remember college, you know, all these stories. You're like, oh, my, I'm not called to do this. You know what I mean? How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? And you got to hear some of the testimonies. But Paul didn't do that. I don't picture Paul. I picture him saying, this is what I went through, but this is what you got to go through in order to preach this thing. Because guess what? The CEO and founder, he hung on a cross. Why don't we start teaching our Bible school students that? Why don't we start teaching that in the university? Hey, people are going to hate you. Hello. What a shocking revelation. You're going to preach truth and they're going to hate you. You're going to preach against their favorite person. They're going to hate you. Go back and look at the cross and say, guess what? They hung Jesus between two thieves. The one who created the very tree they nailed him to. And the man that nailed him, he created. See, Paul was awesome, man. And we need to learn this. This template needs to be in our heart, okay? And that's only because of the Holy Spirit through Paul. Same Holy Spirit that lives in me and you, right? And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them. Notice they rehearsed. They testified. It didn't say that Paul sat there and cried and moaned and he wept. He said he rehearsed. Let me tell you what God did for me. Let me tell you how they were just about to make sacrifice for us, and I stood up with Barnabas. And notice they didn't touch Barnabas. Sometimes it's good to be vice president. Sometimes it's good not to be in the first limo. Y'all catch that later. Sometimes it's good to be the associate. And they didn't touch Barnabas, but they got Paul. But notice how he rehearsed it. I believe, according to the Greek there, I believe that Paul went back and testified of all the great things. Man, they were about to sacrifice towards us, and we ran out there and told them, no way, we preached the gospel. Yeah, man, I got stoned, but guess what? I got up. You see, Jesus was crucified, but he got up. And we got to have that same tenacity today, because what's coming down the road, I don't want to get too much into our Sunday type of messages, but what's coming down the road concerning persecution, you know, we're going to have to learn how to get stoned to get back up. Now, the stoning of you and I may not necessarily be physical with rocks, but it can be verbal. And sometimes verbal stoning lasts longer than any physical stoning could ever be. Some of you all know what I'm talking about. But we got to learn this. This is a great template, and that's why we're teaching the book of Acts. So they were come, they gathered the church together. I love that. They rehearsed all that the Lord God had done with them, and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. You need to underline that, the door of faith. I'd love to preach on the door of faith. The door of faith ties into the kingdom of God. The door of faith ties into the kingdom of God. And Paul entered into that door of faith. He entered into the kingdom. He explained it through how? Through much tribulation. It was through much tribulation that the door of faith opened to the Gentiles. Had Paul not paid the price, and Barnabas had not paid the price, and John Mark and Peter, and it goes further back to Stephen, had they not paid the price to enter into the kingdom with much tribulation, the door of faith to the Gentiles would not have properly been opened. What door is waiting for you to open with your sacrifice? I don't know. Only you know. What door awaits Ignited Church for 2019 that we're going to have to sacrifice for to obtain? It's there. He gave us part of the message on New Year's Eve. We're going to have to go through it through much tribulation. Remember, tribulation means pressure. Doesn't have to necessarily be the prophetic tribulation. In Scripture, it just means that pressure. Come on. The devil's not going to roll over and give up in 2019 and say, You guys win. I'm sorry. I didn't mean any of that. That was bad. No, he's a devil. He's a thief. Okay, his nose is crooked. He's got a big old wart on the end of it. And he's got a big bruise that Jesus put there. Amen? Let's finish this up. To open the door of faith in Gentiles, I wish I could stay longer on that. But just understand, you need to go home and pray, God, open the door of faith for me. Open the door of faith for me in my life, my ministry, whatever you want me to do. If it's regional, something you want to do in this region, Father, open the door of faith for me. Okay? Open that door of faith so that I can enter into the blessings that you have for me. We're praying that right now. I'm praying that right now for this ministry of how we can do more damage to the devil this year. Whether it's outreaches, whether it's through media, whatever, some things the Lord's been speaking to me. Whatever it is, how do we get out there and reach more people? Amen? I said amen. I want to squeeze that nose of that devil. I want to kick him back in that head of his that Jesus did over 2,000 years ago on the cross of Calvary. I want to do more damage this year for the glory of Jesus Christ. Amen? Because when you damage him, you get souls saved. Now watch this. And they abode a long time. How long? Long time. With the disciples. So in closing, they did what they were supposed to do. They weren't afraid of persecution. Paul was even willing to sacrifice his life. He was knocked down, but he wasn't knocked out. He got up and he kept swinging, and great things happened. He went out and ministered. He established the churches. He did everything that God told him to do, and he preached it, and the door of faith was open. That's what I'm asking you guys to do right now in this year, to continue to move forward in faith, continue to have steadfast, unmovable faith. Don't worry about who comes against you, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in this world. Amen. Guys, I love you all. Live stream, our extended family, I love you all and appreciate you. And I will see everybody this coming Sunday. Father, thank you for the message. Thank you for the teaching through the Apostle Paul and the Apostle Barnabas. But thank you that you showed us that you'll use anybody through the power of the Holy Spirit. Use us, Father, today. Open the doors of faith, so that we can preach this gospel to the nations of the world. We can reach our families and friends. We can reach this community, Father God. And we can reach this nation with the life-changing and the soul-saving message of Jesus Christ. Father, bless us and give us a great ending to this week as we gather together Sunday morning to hear your word. In Jesus' name, amen.